This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth, Lake Worth area off of Quebec Street. If you want to come and see us. Now, that's a great question from the 940. How crowded is the Buffalo Wild Wings? Like, are there tables available right now?
They are.
I want to bring
out
my toddlers, but they're hangry. But there are tables. There are still tables here. Plus, our tolos are very accommodating.
We're
90% full.
Yes, they're getting close, but I think there is at least four more tables right now. So go ahead and come on out.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, somebody said, I just finished a scan on my gallbladder. Is there any room? This is the closest I've ever been. Y'all been to my house.
Okay, and so earlier there was somebody here who, after they were here, they were going to go get surgery.
What?
And then remember last
after beers?
Week. No. I don't think they were drinking.
Oh, okay.
And then last week, somebody was here before their wedding, and like a few hours after that. So this has become like a bizarre pre and post game for surgeries and weddings. I don't really know.
I like it.
About all of that. But here we go. It is time for our Dallas Mavericks and Dallas Stars super segment. Now, I know how sad Mike is, so I'm going to go with cut number 7 to start this off because the Stars, they put 7 on the board again.
Left wing side to Dunham. He scores! They do!
Now, once you got past the first period, the Stars actually put the boots to the Bruins. And it wasn't just in terms of, like, I know you can, hockey is one of those sports, along sometimes with soccer, where you're like, I don't necessarily know if the final score indicated what I thought was the pace and the flow of play. I thought maybe not 7-2, but like 5-2. I thought this game was emphatically in the Stars' control in terms of ice time, in terms of puck control, in terms of shots on goal. I thought that the Stars controlled pretty much all of this. Jake Oettinger did Jake Oettinger things. Wasn't as busy as maybe he usually was, but that's another game where the Stars have scored 7 goals, which is just incredible.
Okay, so the last team that they scored 7 goals against was the Penguins.
Yes.
Penguins are currently dead last in the Eastern Conference.
That's fair.
Currently, the Bruins, they're third in the Atlantic Division.
Yeah, they're not great.
They're not great either, and they're, I know that Stars just added to it, but it's a minus 16-point differential for them at the moment. So that is taking care of bad teams.
Sure.
The Wild is definitely – that's a significant game to, like, okay, are we back? Did the Finland trip just kind of throw us off for a little bit and we're actually really back? But I do love that they blasted these two teams in the last two games, because that gives you that confidence. And it puts it together, those things that – when you're on the ice, when you're on any playing field and you're doing things like that that you can't necessarily replicate in practice, it carries over in games. So I think this is really important, even though two not-so-great teams.
That's true, and you have to naturally hope the Wild to a certain extent, and definitely Winnipeg, who finally lost another game, is going to
come.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to cool down. But I wanted to throw this out there just to show, like, how the Stars' start is still really solid.
Yes.
So over-under to start the season, this is before last night's game, was 103.5 points. So that's a lot of points. That would be less than last year, but that's a lot of points. It's since bumped up after the first month of the regular season or so to 105.5. So I know the Finland trip was disappointing, but even with that, they've essentially tacked on an extra win win for the Stars. So another emphatic win, beating up on bad, bad teams, which...
Do it. Do it. Absolutely do it. Enjoy it. Take pleasure in it when you do it, too. And just like I say, take pleasure in getting a road win.
Yes.
You don't discount those by any means.
And unfortunately, not everyone in our Metroplex can beat up on bad teams on the road because... Mike, I'm sorry. I want to try to avoid it. I know you're sad, but go ahead and give me cut number 8 if you can, please.
Lucas guarding John Collins. Clarkson with 5 on the clock. Now starts the play. Bullets at the Collins, who's unguarded. It ducks. Luka forgot his man.
Look at Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson with a one-hand bullet to John Collins, who grabbed it and dunked.
This might not be fair, Mike, but I'm going to ask you if you saw this and or if you even care at this point. They right when they went to timeout after that, you see Luka even, and maybe he's right. I don't know what the play call was, pointing fingers out there. And like it felt like he was trying to say, no, I thought that was his man, or why are you looking at me? And I, even in that moment, I was kind of like, I don't know, man. That looked like that was your guy. I know Lively was on the backside looking at the play, but...
What did I say? It might have been yesterday or the day before that Luka always has one eye on the ref so he cannot watch the ball and his man when he's off the ball. Now, he wasn't watching the ref in that situation, but he is pathetic. The basic thing you try to talk to a kid at 8, 9, 10, 11 years old is they're getting into basketball and they're learning defense. One of the things you try to teach that child early on, which it does take time, they're children, is when you're not guarding the ball, you have to know where the ball is at all times and the person you're guarding. And that's why it's difficult, and that's why so many coaches are like, hey, I'm just going to play zone because then I don't have to watch a man. I'm just guarding an area. Zone doesn't really work in the NBA. But Luka is just that lackadaisical and does not care about all the things that you'd have to do to be a basically decent defensive player. Because he knows where all the defensive players are when he has the ball in
That's
his
right,
hands.
Yeah.
He literally knows where all 5 guys are. He knows where his 4 guys are supposed to be. He sees the whole court.
Yeah.
He can't see Jack S. Yeah. when he's on defense and he's not guarding the ball. Guarding the ball, I don't want to say is easy in the NBA, but I'd, in a way, rather have Luka guarding the ball. At least he doesn't have to know where anybody else is because he does not watch. He just ball watches, and he doesn't know what is happening off the ball because he forgets where his man is, and they took advantage of a very bad, lackadaisical. For the rest of his life, he's going to be that. I quit on Luka getting better at this game. He's awesome at
man.
It. He's not getting any better. He will never, ever be considered one of the greatest basketball players in history. You can take him out of the top 20 basketball players in the history of the NBA because he's never going to win.
Just because of this season?
Yes. Okay. He's not improving.
In the history of his
He got embarrassed. The Boston Celtics NBA Finals was a complete and total embarrassment to him, and everybody in the sport called him out for his whining, being, moaning, fouling out, not being a good teammate. Is it fair? It's not ultimately fair because he got a team to the NBA Finals. He's got a team to a conference finals. But my God, dude, you are getting closer to 30 years old. Grow up. You could be the best player of this era, and he doesn't care. He shows up like fat Shaq almost every year and out of shape. And he's like, well, I guess Shaq did it, so I can do it too. Well, then win like Shaq, and then you can get fat and out of shape every year.
Woo, Mike Bacsik bringing some fire right here. And sounds like the people don't dislike it at all. Now, I can't remember if it was, I think it was the other Clarkson play that ended up looking like an alley-oop. I went back and watched that play several times. I do not believe that was an alley-oop. I think that was a shot, because if you go back and watch it, the ball movement changes because it looks like Derek Lively got his fingertips on the ball, which actually turned what was going to be a brick off the back of the rim into what turned out to be like an alley-oop, and obviously that was a backbreaker as well. But I watched that play again and again, and it was this close to being like a really good defensive play, and instead it like oddly helped out Utah.
I heard Sean say something this morning, Kevin, and Mike, I wanted your thoughts on it, because Sean was like, And then Quentin Grimes with the start in Kyrie's place last night. Why has he been stashed away on the bench for so long and Jason Kidd hadn't played him? And I know you've kind of been on this for a minute. He wasn't quite fitting in yet, right? But last night he seemed to have a pretty good game. And when you get to start, right, you probably look a little bit better being around those guys. Your thoughts on Quentin Grimes and his role with this? Is it growing?
Was a shout-out Najee, too, yesterday.
Yeah, both of those guys, it was nice to see them fitting in better. And I get that what Klay Thompson said is it's going to take time because as much as what has come back, you have Luka, Kyrie, PJ Washington, your two centers, you have a few other guys that, you know, get to play here and there that were on your team last year that won the Western Conference. There are guys that you're trying to fit in and work in. Spencer Dinwiddie has never played with Luka and Kyrie. He's played with both of them, but not at the same time on the same team. I think Spencer Dinwiddie's career is done. I think he's a towel waver at this point, which is fine. But I think that the Lakers had it right when they picked him up last year. They had him, and they're like, he can't play. We're forcing it because of what he did 2 years ago when you made it to the Western Conference Finals.
Do you think the lack of Exum, too, is forcing that?
Yes, and I'm hoping, Exum, I don't know. You know, he's a 15-minute role guy, and maybe you need to, in a way, have lack of depth on this team. I've just been thinking about this last night, trying to go, is it Hardy? Is it Dinwiddie?
Yeah.
Is it Grimes?
Yeah.
Is it Najee Marshall? Is it Exum when he comes back? Is it some random dude that we played the other night? It wasn't this game, but I'm like, who the hell is this guy playing right now? Maybe you just need 9 guys, and the other 5 guys are towel waivers, and you know that they are. They shouldn't be on the court, and maybe you need to trade 3 to get 1. So you don't have this discussion on, hey, should it be Dinwiddie? Should it be Hardy? Should it be Quentin Grimes? It's like maybe you need to trade 3 guys for 1, and they're like, we know who our 9 guys are. The other 5, cheer.
Yeah, that was in my mind the other night. What he was talking about is what I was trying to do with getting Brandon Ingram again. I was like, can I do it? But the money just never stacks up because he makes too much.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a great player to have. But,
I've been trying to get him for, 6 years now?
Yeah.
It's not going to ever work out for me.
So this is 4 straight losses for the Mavs, and I know, because you can take either perspective on this, right? The one perspective.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 4 straight losses by a total of 8 points, which is, on the one hand,
4
obviously,
losses.
That's really, really, really close. But I guess I'll throw this out there as well. Colin Sexton makes the first basket in the fourth quarter. That puts it to 16. So you're losing by 16 with 11 minutes to go left in the game. And the Mavericks come all the way back. And that's great, but it usually feels like that's a game you're going to win. And I'm going to go back to what Jason Kidd said in the game before this. He goes, the last 2 minutes, we have to get better. This is at the Warriors game. The last 3 games, last 2 minutes, we turn the ball over, haven't been rebounding the ball, can't maintain offensive rebounds. Well, look at offensive rebounds. The Jazz had a season high in offensive rebounds yesterday, and they had another one in the last, I think it was a minute and a half, that you're like, damn it, like, you can't not get that rebound. And that directly led to more Jazz points. And whether it's, you know, Collins putting it in when Clarkson's driving up, or it's giving up that offensive rebound for points, that's clearly the difference in the game. Like, those last 2 minutes is clearly the difference.
I just wonder this. Some of the things that I say against Luka aren't fair, but I just go to the history of the NBA. And if you name the top 10 players in the history of the NBA, give or take, they're not goofballs. Shaq is the closest goofball in the top 10 players in the NBA. When you think about the way that Michael Jordan led, Larry Bird led, Magic Johnson led, Tim Duncan led, whoever it is, Kobe, whoever you think, obviously I don't know Wilt too well, Bill Russell, I mean, we get an idea, but the people of my life, they're not goofballs. And they set a tone. What you're just talking about is a tone that is not being set.
Yeah.
Well, your
what's
best player,
what's not.
He's first team All-NBA. Luka's going to make 10 All-Star games. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
But is he a leader? Is he a good leader? And I'm not saying the reason that Larry Bird's able to call his players and his teammates a bunch of S's. I don't know if I can say the whole word anymore.
Yeah, might not. I mean, I heard somebody say it. I don't know if you're allowed to say
it. But, like, literally he called out his team, and they responded, and they were, I know it was a different game back then, clotheslining Kurt Rambis and all kinds of crap, right? But you think about Michael Jordan, and, like, Michael Jordan was an A, and he was all this, and he was a horrible teammate and all this. They're like, we feared so much of him that we knew we had to play our best. It was tough playing for him. Maybe he didn't even like playing for him, but we knew in the end we were going to be champions. And Luka has, to me, I'm going to be honest, Luka is great. He has none of those qualities. And I'm surprised he doesn't. I'm surprised at how good he was at 18 and 19 and how great he has been throughout his career. He has not learned really how to be a leader of the team. And I think it all falls on Kyrie, which is fine. I think Kyrie has grown into being a pretty darn good leader. But it really stinks when your best player kind of doesn't have leadership qualities. Just like you said, when he starts looking around the court going, where were you? Where were you?
I was like, where were you, dude?
You're the person.
Yeah.
Once you take the biggest responsibility, and I know it's a different sport, but I hear from Mark McLemore and Roberto Alomar and these guys that played with Cal Ripken Jr., he would scream and yell at his teammates. He would actually call pitches from shortstop, so the catcher would take that off his plate because he felt like he was better at doing it with certain catchers that he had on his team. But he took the most responsibility for the losses. He took the most responsibility for the energy and attitude of the team. When your guy doesn't do that, it's tough to respect that guy completely. I think everybody on the Mavericks thinks Luka is unbelievable. Luka is awesome. At times, Luka gives me the best looks I've ever seen. Luka does things that I haven't seen on a basketball court before. But is Luka a leader of those guys where they feel like if we don't do what Luka asks or needs, we're in deep trouble?
I'm going to do one more thing to kind of research this probably next week. I told you it's four straight loss, combined 8 points. This is also the fourth straight fourth quarter that the Mavericks have outscored their opponent. So it's not just a matter of 2 minutes. It's a matter of they're falling behind in all of these games going into the fourth quarter. And you're like, hey, we play well for 10 minutes of that fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the game's back on the line and we revert to kind of first three quarters. And
so you know what they're capable of, right?
I guess.
It's not for all of them.
I would be a terrible scout because I'd be like, I saw it one time. He can't do that. You know, so like.
And Jerry would be like, you saw it once?
Yeah.
That's good enough for me.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway and we'll kick it off live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth, Lake Worth, off of Quebec with this, the Combo Platter. National Concert T-Shirt Day. Give us a sports opinion. And then, what is the best concert T-shirt you've ever gotten? And maybe, when was that concert? Let's do it next right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Hands off Sagan. Right side shot. Score! Marchment! It's seven goals for the second straight game. That line does it again.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Want to make sure we throw out plenty of Stars love today, and I can already see some of the Combo Platter opinions are with the Stars. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Fort Worth, kind of in that Lake Worth area off of Quebec if you want to come and see us. And now it's time for the Combo Platter. I cheated on this one a little bit.
Cheater.
I'll admit that. Today is actually National Camp T-Shirt Day, but I didn't want to do that. So I changed it to National Concert T-Shirt Day.
Okay.
So give us a sports opinion. And then, what is the best concert T-shirt you've ever gotten? And when was it? From the 214, Stars advance to the Western Conference, Nolan Ryan didn't take steroids, and the best concert t-shirt, I don't know if a lot of people think that, but that's good to know, was Van Effin Halen. I like it. From the 5-6-1, Stars advanced to the Western Conference Finals again, and then the first concert they ever saw was at the Bronco Bowl. Pantera, Anthrax, and Coal Chamber got a t-shirt there. Never had as much fun as a concert since then. So that's kind of what we're looking at to start this thing out. Now,
do you think that it's okay to wear the shirt of the band that you're going to see?
I do. I know some people are really against that. Personally, I think, look, this is what I say. I don't give a crap what somebody else thinks about my fashion. If they're like, I can't believe you wore that concert t-shirt, I'm like, okay, I had fun.
Yeah,
so
this is my shirt. Yeah, exactly.
I bought another one. Guess what? I'll wear that the next time they come back. I think that is totally, totally fine. All right. Who wants to start this one? Because I know Alec is really passionate on this one.
Alec?
Is that my cue?
Yes, that is your cue to talk.
Okay, I will go first. Then I'll start off because actually I told Kevin yesterday when he pitched the idea to me, I was like, I have a few on hand that I could wear tomorrow. And I got stopped in the elevator by a random guy in one of the other suites. I was like, hey, dude, nice t-shirt. Did you go to that concert? It's like, yeah, man, I did. It's the Linkin Park t-shirt from the show last Friday. I don't know if it's the coolest shirt I've ever gotten from a show. It's really soft. I'll give it that. It's like the best quality that I've ever gotten. But I think the coolest one I got was from Coldplay's Music of the Spheres tour. I want to say 2021 at the Cotton Bowl. That was probably the coolest shirt I ever got. Really cool conceptual design on the front with like a map of space. It's pretty cool. Unfortunately, it doesn't fit me anymore. I outgrew that one. It's too tight now.
You're too jacked now?
Yeah, I decided to get in the gym after that, which wasn't a good idea because I can't really wear it anymore unless I cut the sleeves off. But sports opinion for you boys. I've been thinking about it. Watching these Mavericks, it's hard for me to take away many things right now because, you know, the vibes I'm getting right now is that first, I don't know, month after the Kyrie Irving trade. Like, I just don't know what I'm watching right now because I don't know if it's going to be consistent. So I'm trying to withhold judgment until we start to see a little bit more continuity, even in the rotations. Like, we played the sound earlier in the week, over the weekend, Jason Kidd after the Suns loss, where he was like, I had to use the entire bench in this game, and we still didn't do anything. Like, we're not seeing any kind of continuity right now to where I don't want to draw any opinions, but I'm with Mike. I'm not very inspired watching Mavericks basketball right now.
Okay, I think...
Y'all just wait.
I hope you're right, but I think that's a fair opinion of the 12 we've seen thus far.
Okay, that's fine. That's,
but there's
okay
70 to go. I'm with you.
You just wait.
Okay, I like it.
You know what, Mike?
I think we're going to keep waiting.
Whenever they're in the finals, on this show, I will be telling you exactly how it is.
I hope you're right. I know that they're going to have a stretch where they play really good basketball this year.
Yes.
Is it just going to be a stretch where they play good enough basketball to get into the play-in tournament?
That's a good question. That is a good question.
Yeah.
And then be the first team to ever go from the play-in tournament to the finals.
I guess.
I'm sure teams would be scared of them come playoff time. If you're healthy,
they're a scary team.
You would be very scared of playing the Mavericks.
And they figure it all out.
From the 8-3-2, the Stars will win the Stanley Cup this season. Kevin, let's go. And my favorite concert t-shirt is Metallica during a concert in 2021 that was actually at Globe Life Field. Ooh, I like that one. Very, very good. All right. Corey?
Travis Hunter is only rivaled by Ashton Jeanty in excitement for me in college football right now.
Would you rather have Hunter because of the positional versatility?
And I'm not necessarily talking about getting him, but
just the
excitement and Heisman, and Heisman numbers. I think that Travis Hunter has earned that so far. I still think Colorado has to be pretty good on the stretch out here to change it. I'm also – Carter Freeman's going to disagree with me, but – I'm a little sour on Dylan Gabriel because he was at OU, and then I know OU's falling apart, but he moved on and went and was better than he was with OU. And obviously for a lot lot of different reasons. So I am a big fan of Travis Hunter. I don't know exactly what he's going to be in the NFL. His frame is very different. It's very wiry, and I want to see how much more he can put onto his body and still stay at the same speed and have the agility that he has. But those two, for me, are at the top of the list, and I look forward to watching them every weekend.
All right.
And that is Mike's guy, by the way, Ashton Jeanty. Yeah. I gotta credit Mike for that. He always
Who would have known that when I looked at a website going, who are the three best running backs in
college
football?
That'd be the football, guy.
That Jeanty was the one I was like, maybe we should watch out for this guy.
And then it was Steve Miller Band. It's a really weird story. I was at a Dave Matthews Band concert, and they were just giving away Steve Miller Band shirts.
Really?
Not shirts, tickets for like the next night.
Oh.
And so we went to the show.
It was at Smirnoff, or whatever
it is now.
Is that Fair Park?
Yeah, it was at Fair Park. And we showed up, and the night before, Dave Matthews he was complaining about bugs on the stage. And so Steve Miller Band came out with a beekeeper's mask on. And he was like, I heard y'all had a bug problem. And then put on a hell of a show. And that's the only concert I've ever bought a shirt from. That one was the only one. And it was it was a great show.
Is it because, do you think you bought the shirt because you got the tickets for free? And you're like, I'm not out of anybody.
I had a little extra cash.
Yeah, okay.
And it was this shirt right here. It had the Pegasus on it. And I just think that Steve Miller's colors are always fun and cool.
All right. From the 817, I wanted to give an update. I made it from McKinney without my boss being aware. I'm now at the bar with wings and on my way. Good.
Look at that.
Oh, good job.
Yeah.
He has a nice haircut and everything. What's your name?
No, don't do that.
I don't know if it's great radio for you just to be shouting at people in the place around.
What's your name? And hey, you.
From the 214, the Mavs and Cowboys have the same issue. Good to great players, but no leadership. Until they fix that, the championship drought will continue. Their favorite concert t-shirt, the Vans Warped Tour from 2000. And from the 682, Sports Opinion, the Cowboys will win the Super Bowl next year. And I hope so.
Is that Stephen Jones texting you?
It could have been. And my favorite concert t-shirt was an Ozzy Osbourne Ozfest t-shirt. And then, sorry, Mike, one more. 682, Stars win the Cup, and a Deftones t-shirt from the 2013 Edge Fest at the Smirnoff Center. So a lot of feedback there already. Mike asking people in the crowd what their name is. Mike?
I have, before I get to my opinion, I do have one. Let's just say the Cowboys go 4-5, very doable. Let's say the Mavericks play in the play-in and they lose very quickly in the playoffs. The Rangers, I guess it doesn't really matter in this deal because they'll be so early into their season.
Yeah.
But the Stars do win the Stanley Cup. Let's just say that thing happens. How much more, what percentage, how much more of this Metroplex moves towards the Stars? Because, like, I haven't watched a game of the Stars yet.
Is it because of the app?
Yeah, it's weird for me. I get it. It's the way our world's going. There's no more, like, just on this channel. I got to app it, throw it on the TV, all this stuff. I don't do it. When the show is over, I will not open up my computer until Monday at 9:40.
Really?
Yeah. I don't touch my computer.
So does that mean you don't see the run sheet I send out ahead of time?
No. I have my phone.
Okay.
I do sometimes.
You knew better than
I know.
Ask that.
I'm sorry.
Just always act like that.
That's on me. That's
but
on
I'm
me.
Wondering what the percentage is if the Mavs are going to play like the Mavs are playing. Because, you know, recently the Stars did have great success, but not as much success as the Rangers, as much success as the Mavericks did last year. What if the Stars are the only successful team in the Metroplex for 1 year?
I think you will see it because you saw something not exactly similar, but if you think about when that was happening the last time, so 96, 97, then going through, obviously, 98, winning the Cup in 99, going back in 2000. You saw that's when the Cowboys started to flame out. The Mavericks weren't there yet, and they were still coming off being one of the worst franchises we've ever seen in the history of sports. Now, I realize that the Rangers were doing well at that point. 3 playoff appearances in 4 years, but I think people forget how hockey-centric this town became about 25 years ago. Because you win the Cup in 99, you go back to the Cup and lose to the Devils in 2000. And even before you make it, you were like a constant playoff presence that was winning. People got super into Stars. I think if you broke through and won the Cup, then I think you would see a lot more push towards that, especially to your point, Mike, with the struggles of all our other teams.
And if we had a longer winter, you know, that'd be nice too. More cold feeling, you know?
Yeah, does the winter maybe start next week?
I don't know why. I'm dead serious. I think that if we had more cold around here, people would be like, let's go be around the ice.
Because they want to go skate or something.
It'll be interesting. I was just part of the meetings last year at the Rangers on how much they grew after winning the World Series. It was a tremendous growth throughout kind of the baseball world. Now, they're not the New York Yankees or anything like that. Now, I'm just wondering how much they're going to lose those bandwagon fans that said, man, I really like watching this team. I like Adolis Garcia. I like Corey Seager. I like this and that. And then they didn't play very well. They're like, all right, well, they're not that team I watched in October. I'll follow these teams or these players now. That's going to happen to the Rangers. There's a big influx of Ranger fans after winning their first ever World Series. I know it'd be the Stars' second Stanley Cup, but...
But the first in 26 years, yeah. So it's been a minute.
All right, you ready for my sports opinion?
Hit me with it.
Oh, I thought that was it.
No, that was a good...
I was asking a question off of the Stars if they were to win.
Can I ask you a concert-based question then? Do you think, as somebody texting in from the 817, any T-shirt being sold in the parking lot is sketchy? So, like...
It's not official, right?
Yeah, exactly. So do you think that's sketchy, or are you like, hey, $12?
I just don't want it to be scratchy.
Okay.
They make T-shirts so much better now than they did when we were kids. I don't want that T-shirt.
All right.
T-shirts are so much nicer nowadays, dude.
Yeah, your T-shirt feels good.
This is a fantastic shirt. It's good fellow.
Why are you feeling his
Target
shirt?
Because he likes things.
Yeah, just making sure he had on a good shirt.
He likes good textures.
All right.
Okay.
Jason Witten's the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, let me ask you this. Is that why you asked Jerry? Like, I know you did a great job of, like, kind of covering it up by being like, high school playoffs start tonight. And that is true, last night, I guess. But is that why you asked that question?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think you've probably heard the rumors, too, that there's an outside chance that Jason Witten possibly gets interviewed for the head coaching job. Everybody knows. I'll let you know. Everybody knows in the Metroplex that covers the Dallas Cowboys, Mike McCarthy's done.
Yes.
He ain't coaching next year.
Yes.
Now, who's going to be the next head coach? Nobody knows. Everybody's trying to figure out who's the leading candidates. Who are they going to interview? What could happen? I just think, and not that it would come out of the blue, I just wanted to ask because we've heard the floating around of maybe Jason Witten. So I was like, without saying, is Jason Witten a candidate to be the coach of the Cowboys next year? Why not ask it in a way where he talks about Jason Witten possibly being an NFL coach? Because all he's done is coach high school. He says, I won't kind of take a college coach. And I'm like, well, he's never said he wouldn't take a high school coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is an interesting point.
Once he compared him to a coach that whooped their butts this year in Dan Campbell. Like, that was another note for me right there that was like, okay, he's talking about that
Jason
guy the
Witten
same
knows
way.
How the Cowboys work. He knows how
that
the Jones family works.
That is a good prerequisite
That's
for
true.
The other
job.
Thing, too, is I don't know who Jason Witten's offensive coordinator would be next year if he became the head coach. But I think Jerry and Steven and
Tony
Will
Romo.
Like that because they could all come together and put the staff together. There wouldn't be – if Bill Belichick were to become the next head coach of the Cowboys, that is a consideration. The Cowboys are considering that. Bill Belichick is going to be like, you're not hiring my defensive coordinator. You're not hiring my offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I'm not keeping this defensive line coach. I have an 11-man staff that is coming along with me. You want to talk about interns? We can talk about interns. But I do think that Jason Witten, one, I think could be a very good head coach in the NFL. Two, I think there would be a collaboration on all the assistant coaches, and I think the Jones family would really like that.
Now, a couple more positive Mavericks opinions for the combo platter from the 214. Mavericks beat the Knicks in 7 to win the championship this year, and it was a Tool concert T-shirt at a laser show.
What?
Woo! I like that.
They have great shirts.
And then from the 682, the Mavericks make a trade that helps them win the championship, and Evanescence at Edge Fest 13. So a lot of people having fun with us today as part of the combo platter. Now,
remember Evanescence one song? That was
really,
that was awesome.
Colby would get so mad. Corey, is there anything else you want to talk about? Do you want to
kill some time or do anything
else. Are you supposed to give something?
No, not giving anything away.
I have no clue what I'm supposed to do.
I've never bought a concert.
Do you want a filibuster?
Oh, you don't want Mike Likes It to happen.
You're afraid Mike Likes It. It didn't happen yet.
You're afraid of Mike Likes It right now. Hey, guys, we're going to have to calm down. There's some people trying to work right now. I see people doing their Zoom meetings.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm in a rowdy Buffalo Wild Wings. All right, we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for Mike Likes It.
Okay.
The hell? We're not at a concert now, y'all.
I've taken
calm down.
The stage. By the way, I might be one of the few people that are in here. I've never bought a concert t-shirt.
Okay.
I can't say that surprises me. I thought maybe you bought a Lumineer shirt.
Or a Camp
like
no, but
oh,
now,
yeah.
My sister-in-law did get me a Camp, C-A-A-M-P. They're a band, not like, because today is Camp t-shirt day, but I don't think it's because of that small band. She did buy me a t-shirt, I don't know, from the concert or like from a website or whatever, for like a Christmas gift.
That's cool.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
But I've never like been to a concert and then bought a t-shirt at the concert. Okay. So my first Mike Likes It is this. We're getting close to Thanksgiving. Okay?
Yes.
What is happening the Saturday right after Thanksgiving? Kevin?
Texas and Texas A&M.
Here's my first take a load off question for Buffalo Wild Wings. Now, this is a little bit of a tough one because we do have a guy right here wearing a bunch of UT gear. I don't know how many people in here are UT / or A&M fans.
We got an Aggies hoodie over here, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we might be outnumbered.
If a friend of yours, now I know this is on a Saturday,
yes,
but if a friend of yours got you a ticket to that game.
Oh, my God.
But you had to miss Thanksgiving with your family because you would have to go to College Station on Thursday.
One ticket?
One ticket.
Oh, okay.
And just you're not taking your wife or your kids.
You get
or,
to be alone.
It is a friend. It is a friend who would be taking you. But they're going Thursday, and you have to go Thursday with them, and then you'd come back Sunday. Miss Thanksgiving with your family to go to this historical game?
I'm going to have to do some quick talking and maneuvering and then shout out the Black Friday sales at RJ Dukes and Trading Card World and say I'm not going to be there because I'm going to College Station for that game,
wow,
baby.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. Because
I did miss Thanksgiving at least once when I was in school when the game used to be on Friday.
So as a parent here, this isn't me. But my son is a huge Texas A&M fan.
Yeah.
He's 16 years old. It's weird because my wife graduated from Texas Tech. I signed with Texas Tech. I ended up graduating from the great football school of University of Texas in Arlington. They had a team in 1984, I think. And my son has gotten invited to that game.
Ooh.
Wow.
So,
like, just like with his friend?
With a friend.
Dude,
now, obviously,
tell him to go.
We're like, yeah,
tell
you can go. But here's what he wanted to do. Here's how.
Everybody in the family agree with that? I know you said
yes.
Go. Okay.
Yes. But here's what he was trying to convince us if he doesn't get this ticket from his friend. He wants to go with a friend of his that we know, good friend. But he's like, because he has a driver's license, he's like, here's what I want to do. And remember, he's 16 years old, a sophomore in high school.
He's like,
we're going to go down, because he got into, by the way, he got into the Texas OU game.
I can't remember if
I said this on air or not. He got into the Texas OU game, and I don't know how you can do this, but there were some people that were taking tickets, because it's just a one-day job, weren't taking tickets, and the guy's like, do you have $20? And he gave the guy $20. He said, go into the game.
I like it.
That was the Texas OU game. So he thinks he's naive enough
to think he can do that again,
that this could happen again. So he's 16 years old, and he's telling mom and dad last night, well, if I don't get this ticket, I want to go with my buddy who's another friend, and he wants to go to the game. And we're like, where are you going to stay and everything? We're just going to sleep in the car. And we're like, no, you're not parking your car randomly in College Station somewhere and just sleeping in the car. And with this, no.
But we've all had that mentality at one time or another.
Here's
right?
what I feel
My kid's
like.
My done this already. He said it.
If they're 16, it's an absolute no. My daughter is 19. I feel like, in a way, I couldn't say no because she's in college. She pretty much lives on her own. Yes, we're paying for her to live in Austin. But she's like, I'm going down to the game. Well, how are you? Where are you staying? Who are you getting? She's like, I'm just staying in the car with my friend. We'd be like, we don't want you to do that. But in a way, I don't know. You have Brandon, who's the same age as Mary Grace. If Brandon said, I'm going down to College Station, I'm sleeping in my car, and I'm going to figure out how to get into this game.
Honestly, I would be okay with that because I have done things like that in the past. And
did it work out?
Yeah, it did. Brandon is level-headed. I can already tell when Noah grows up, I'm going to be like, no. Because he does not have that same level that Brandon does. So I get it. And especially since your daughter goes to that school, I think it'd be okay.
But, you know, Noah being that kind of personality, he might get other things done that Brandon couldn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Carter, my Carter is a different one that
Noah
would probably
and Carter
like...
have the potential to rack up much more of an arrest record than our older boys do.
I would like to say this is the truth. I love my in-laws. So on Thursday, we have Thanksgiving with my parents.
Okay.
On Friday / Saturday, like Friday night till Saturday afternoon, we do Thanksgiving with my wife's parents. My wife's parents are not going to be able to see Jake because he's going to go to College Station as long as this works out. We're not letting him sleep in a car, but as long as it works out with this ticket. But my in-laws are not going to be happy with this because one of their grandkids will not be at Thanksgiving.
I get that. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going to wear it. They're my in-laws. They're not my parents.
Right.
I'm pushing that onto my wife. You deal with the hours of conversation and the passive-aggressiveness of Jake not being at Thanksgiving.
And it is passive-aggressive, too, isn't it? It's one of those where they'll make a comment while they're sitting down on the couch. They're like, oh, there's just one empty spot here. I wonder who could be sitting there.
Oh, my God.
Think about this, Tolos, as you take a load off with us at Buffalo Wild Wings in Quebec / Fort Worth, Lake Worth. You just mentioned you would do this.
Yes.
Corey, I feel like you've done some fun / stupid things in your life.
Absolutely.
What is one of these things that you could hear this story about a 16-year-old wanting to sleep in his car to possibly go to a game that he has nothing to do with that you've done in your life where you're like, that was really stupid now that I look back on it, but it did work out?
I got up at 1 in the morning and drove to New Mexico. So I drove overnight to New Mexico by myself.
From Dallas?
Yeah, and I was like 17 years old, got in my car and went to go.
13 hours?
Yeah, it's about eight hours. And I was by myself on the highway, pitch black, and at one point kind of got lost a little bit. But yeah, it was very dangerous, but I thought it was really cool at the time. We were going about 95 miles an hour, you know, on the highway. And there was one other car on the highway, and he and I would just kind of switch being in front. So just in case the cops got us, the other one could keep going. And so we just kept doing that. And then somewhere in like Odessa, he ended up parting off. But I thought that now I think that's very stupid. Back
were
then
you
I
sad
was like, this
when
was
he
awesome.
Left the road?
I was, because then it was just me and two headlights just going. But yeah, I think that's pretty dumb now because of what I was doing back then. And there was also that time all my friends were tripping acid in the forest. That was kind of weird. Cops came up.
Were you Phil Jackson?
No, that was peyote, buddy.
Okay, gotcha.
So, Kevin, I know how big of an A&M fan you are. Now, this A&M question, I haven't asked my son, but I was thinking about, you know, asking him this question. Would you rather go to this game at College Station, or if the Aggies, this would be an easy deal to do. Now, it'd cost money.
Sure.
The Aggies could play. If everything worked out, perfect thing, it probably won't. They could play in the national semifinal game at AT&T Stadium to go to the national championship. I'll give you three choices here.
Okay.
This game on Saturday, not this Saturday, but the Saturday against UT. You could go to the semifinal game at AT&T Stadium or the dream scenario, A&M makes the national championship game for the first time since 1912.
It's 1939. Don't laugh at that.
Which game would you pick?
So my order would be national championship game, then Texas A&M, because it's in College Station. It's on campus. That atmosphere is insane. And then third would be the national semifinal. I'd be thrilled for any of them, but that's the order I would go. National championship, the Saturday after Thanksgiving game, and then the semifinals.
If the Cowboys, this isn't happening this year. If the Cowboys played in the Super Bowl, would you rather have A&M. Tickets to the A&M National Championship game?
Or I'd rather have the A&M tickets.
Because
just because the atmosphere is going to be so different, too. Like, you can find – I know there will be Cowboys fans there, but it will be very corporate at the Super Bowl. You'll find crazed A&M fans at the game.
I know everybody's financial situation is different, and this isn't about getting tickets to a game. But I had a friend of mine recently say he really regrets – going to Midwestern State in Wichita Falls. Nothing against that school. He enjoyed his time there, everything like that. But he recently went to an A&M football game. He's been to other major college football games, and he's like, why didn't I choose one of these major universities?
It's unbelievable.
With a good football school? How much, Corey, do you – I don't know. I have no clue your situation when you were, like, in high school, then choosing college and all this thing. How much do you regret maybe not – doing what you needed to do to go to OU or to go to a UT or an A&M.
And I impress that probably too much on my kids now. But, like, fortunately, my wife was very good at all that stuff in high school. So she was very prepared. And I was the first person in my family to graduate or to graduate from college.
Uh-huh.
So nobody knew how to get me to college back then. So now that I know and I see the path, I'm very like, guys, you got to do this. I do regret it a lot.
Okay, the last Mike likes it because we got to get to the C block.
This is a good one, too.
It is?
Thank you,
guys. For your C-block?
It's going to be a good C-block.
Okay, good, good, good. So last week, I made you guys laugh, I think, a whole bunch, or drive you insane with my Coligard story.
Yeah.
My wife, she listened to it that night, thought it was very funny, but she wanted to say, as a doctor, it had nothing to do with my prostate. Stop saying that it was prostate.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was it for, then?
The colon. Mm-hmm. For your colon.
Okay, that makes...
The Coligard is for your colon. Yeah.
So you still
she's
need
like,
to go
you
do
said this multiple
thing?
Times. I got it. Hey, you want to do it together?
No.
He's already done it once.
I don't.
We could schedule...
No, I know, because you're going to try...
My wife has a major thing that she's doing with her friends.
Mm-hmm. Dude, they have toilets that y'all can sit facing each other and everything.
I don't know. Because I know what Mike's like when he takes pictures. He comes up behind me and he's like, hey, Kevin, do you want me to touch your shoulder? And I know he's going to try to get in the room with me and be like, do you want to hold hands while we do this? I don't.
To make you feel good.
No.
Don't you hold Noah's hands when he's at Oak Cliff Pediatrics and needs a shot?
But he's a baby.
Okay. So's Luca, and he's 25 years old. All right, that's it. Mike likes it.
All right, Mike likes it, ladies and gentlemen. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the
Claps. Fan. I should have taken more of a load off.
Okay.
I'll do it next week.
All right. We'll be in Arlington next week. Today, we're in Fort Worth, Lake Worth area off of Quebec Street. And coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Major.
Oh, wow.
Do you feel the pressure?
I do feel pressure. Who's responsible for me losing my wedding ring and how Livy Dunn raised the stakes? Next to the fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.